Did you know that women were excluded from clinical research policy by federal law until 1993? Women belong in scientific research. They are essential. But not only that, how can we trust any of the data when it comes to our bodies if nothing used to exist? Ritual took this gap and conducted a university-led human clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy. The results? It increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. That's some data we can trust. Ritual is a clinically backed multivitamin for women 18 plus with high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. It is USP verified, meaning you can trust what you're putting in your body and know that it actually works. And only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark. Not only does Ritual take your health seriously, they are also invested in the health of the planet. Ritual is a female-founded B Corp. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. I have been through the ringer when it comes to vitamins, and that's why I love Ritual, because I can actually trust that it does what it's supposed to do, and it comes from a company that actually cares. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off.
I love the holidays. In our house, the holidays means finding the biggest Christmas tree, singing holiday songs, and most important of all, baking. I love baking traditional Swedish holiday dishes, but I also get inspired by creative recipes from other cultures. That's where Bon Appetit comes in. Packed with recipes and trends from all around the globe, how-to videos, and mouth-watering photos, Bon Appetit is not only an indispensable resource for cooks at all levels, it's also the perfect gift for people who love food and people who don't. Right now, Bon Appetit has an exclusive offer for you, my From the Heart listener, and just in time for holiday gifting. The regular price for Bon Appetit is $15 for a one-year subscription, but for a limited time, you can save $5 on a one-year subscription, plus get an exclusive Bon Appetit, Don't Worry, Eat Happy tote bag. It's a gift that keeps on giving for yourself and your loved ones. Oh, and we can't forget the most important food of all, chocolate! The Bon Appetit box offer includes a one-year subscription, plus a special Bon Appetit gift box packed with goodies like the delicious Guittard chocolate and an exclusive chocolate chip toffee recipe from the Bon Appetit kitchen. The box even includes a Jacques Pepin spatula with everything easily gifted in the Don't Worry, Eat Happy tote. Give the gift of food inspiration with the Bon Appetit subscription today. Use the promo code YOGA for a special discount and start shopping now at bonappetit.com/getBA. That's bonappetit.com/getBA. Promo code YOGA. bonappetit.com/getBA, promo code YOGA. Hi, and welcome to another episode of From the Heart Conversations with Yoga Girl. Today I have a super special and the most attended guest ever on the podcast, my husband and baby daddy, Dennis Schoneveld. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hello, thank you for having me again.
Are you very excited and proud that you've been on the podcast more than anyone else?
Yes, of course.
Yes, only Olivia has been twice. This is your third time.
Mm-hmm. Olivia has nothing on me.
Olivia has nothing on you. But it's really interesting to me how, okay, the podcasts that you and I do are some of the most downloaded of all, which you always think is weird.
Yeah.
And people request for you to come back on the podcast all the time.
I think they downloaded by accident and then they requested by accident.
It's just a series of accidents.
Yeah.
But why do you think that is?
I really don't know. Maybe they want to get to know you on a more private part of the relationship.
I think they want to get to know you.
Yeah, I doubt that.
The thing about you is that we talked about this just now, that you're a kind of an awkward person.
Mm-hmm.
You're awkward, like in a good way, like in a very, like I love your awkwardness, but you're awkward in the public eye.
And the private eye.
the private eye awkwardness. People don't understand that you're just awkward in any situation. It has nothing to do with being like in the limelight or on social media. It's just...
I'm awkward.
You're kind of an awkward guy. So what about when you come on the show? I mean, Or is it getting easier to be a guest on the podcast? Because the first time, I mean, we had so many people requesting and I had to nag you for weeks. Second time, I had to nag you like a couple days. And now you just kind of, yeah, one day. But I didn't even like really nag. You were like, okay, I'll do the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like it?
Yeah. I don't mind it as much.
It is getting easier and funner, maybe.
It's getting definitely easier, yeah.
Okay, good. Well, we get so many questions, and I think, I mean, how is your day today? Are you having a good day?
Yeah, I'm having a good day.
Are you having a good December? It's almost Christmas.
Yeah, this year, though, I don't remember anything of it. It went by so fast.
I mean, we had a baby.
We had a baby. We had a lot of traveling. Yeah, for me, one of the other highlights besides having a baby was like finishing that Ironman.
Finishing the Ironman. That was what our last podcast was kind of about.
Yeah. It was a really good year. It's just it went by so fast that I kind of don't remember it.
I kind of don't remember. We have our 1 year anniversary of Island Yoga in like a week.
Yeah.
January 1st. And I can't believe we've only been open for, like we've been open for less than a year. It feels like we've been doing this for...
Yeah, we survived the whole year.
We survived a whole year. Nobody died. We haven't had any major, like, you know, crazy things happen at the studio. Everyone is still here and the team, like...
Well, the team changed a lot.
The team changed a lot. But, like, we didn't have anyone quit in an outrage or anyone get...
Yeah.
Like, we did? Who?
Yeah. Like, a couple of the staff people. This place is a huge drama. Like, that... This, like, building that it doesn't have its own reality show, it's...
I know. Okay. Island Yoga needs its own reality show. But I mean, like, we didn't have anyone quit in an outrage, like, I hate you, go away, I'll never
Not
come back.
Not us, but two, yeah.
What do you mean two?
We had two, and both, one was in the kitchen, and one was in the front of the house. And...
Oh, okay. Can we talk about that? That's so, okay. Well, someone... The problem with me is, okay, this is part of an issue we have at Island Yoga is when I think of the Island Yoga team, I don't really think about the restaurant. And that sucks. I need to change that. Yeah. That's really bad. That's why we have. So if you haven't been at Island Yoga, it's the most beautiful place ever. We have a big shop in the front and then we have three yoga studios or three shalas.
Yeah.
And then an office. And then in the back, like the back of the building, we have a restaurant, cafe, and a garden that wraps around it. And we have different staff for the food part, like for the cafe, than we have for the Island Yoga team. So when I think of the Island Yoga team, I'm thinking about like the yoga and the teacher trainings that we do and the retreats and like the staff that works closely with me day to day. But then we have a whole group of staff
in the kitchen that
I don't interact with every day, of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
For me, the whole building is the team.
Yeah, of course, of course. And that is, I should stop dividing that. But it's because I don't email with them. I don't sit on the phone with them. I don't talk about day-to-day stuff. Yeah. That's why.
And you don't even order your own food here.
Shut the fork up, okay? Okay, I don't even order my own food. I'm such a prima donna. No, but it's really true. But we've had a really hard time with the restaurant.
Well, yeah, but it's not only that. Just imagine if I can paint a picture for the audience that hasn't been here yet. You have a building. It's a pretty big building. And you put 20 people that does yoga and that is like really open about talking about their feeling and, you know, no taking no shit. And then you put them all together to work days in and days out, day after day.
20 people that all are hippy dippy, trusting the universe, flaky, but also very hard workers.
Yeah, they're all hard workers. It's just that you have that and then you have this for a whole year.
We've had a couple of, oh my God, yes.
That this building is still standing is nothing short of a miracle.
And people ask, like, why is it so hard to sustain a business in the yoga world? Well, if you employ people from the yoga world, like, you're going to make more magic, but you're going to have a way harder time along
it's
the way.
It's so difficult, yeah. But now I think, we're not employing part of that, but yoga I mean, people anymore.
No, we stopped.
In the kitchen, at least.
In the kitchen, at least. But part of that is, you know, I guess the problem that we've had in the past is we had a lot of people that came to the team that had either been on a retreat with us or they had, you know, been practicing and maybe they follow us through social media.
They were clients.
Not just that, but people that are willing to, at the drop of a dime, leave everything behind at home, move across the world to another country, you know, pick up and leave.
Yeah.
Like, they're kind of in an unstable place in their life.
Yeah, but that's really amazing that people will do this.
Of course, it's amazing.
To start with.
Hell yes.
But at the same time,
it means that they're probably going through some stuff, right? And then maybe we put them in the pod of all the other people and everyone.
We put them in a pod with 20 more of them.
And me. That's the thing. Everyone here goes through stuff. The difference is, like with a regular workplace, is that we talk about it and it's really out in the open and we're all really vulnerable. We're really open-hearted and everything is personal. I mean, that's...
Yeah, but when they come here on a... Yeah, that I agree all. But when they come here before, they're on a retreat, they're getting teacher Rachel leading a love retreat. And then when they come to work, they get boss Rachel.
I know, people...
And you don't fuck with boss Rachel.
You don't fuck with boss Rachel. Who else is going to keep this whole machine running? That's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I wear a lot of hats. But this is also why we're not, you know, employing people on a whim anymore. And especially not people that just came through the yoga world. Like, we're really spending time to look for... To be conscious about hiring. We haven't really done that at all. We haven't had any structure. We just ended up with 35 plus people that kind of entered our life through one way or another, but we never, you know, put an ad on the paper or looked, you know, like LinkedIn or like actually made an effort to find the perfect person for the right position.
We started doing that now.
Now we are. But this past couple of years, we have not done that. That's why.
This whole year we've been working on structures, but we still don't have it.
But I mean, that's why all our team is like, it's a potpourri. It's like a mix of, you know, the most loving, open-hearted, kind of slightly eccentric and intense. Like, you know, we're all family, but we all also sometimes have drama like a family do. So the one person, yeah, we had a person quit in the restaurant in a really dramatic way. Yeah, but not in a dramatic way, in a intense way.
Which one are you talking about? The one that worked in the front or the one that worked in the kitchen?
The kitchen.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty... Yeah.
What do you mean? Oh, they were both in the restaurant. Oh, okay. Okay, we shouldn't have these conversations on the podcast. I can tell this is going further. I was like, I think of the year and I'm like, oh my God, like the whole team, we're still intact. Everybody loves each other. We have such a good thing going. And you're like, no, we did have someone quit in an outrage. But it's really, really hard. And that's the thing. So two, three years ago, the whole business of, you know, Yoga Girl or Island Yoga, all of this, it was you, me, and Amelie, who is our Island Yoga manager. It was just us sitting around a kitchen table.
Yeah.
And then we had some people that worked remotely, but everything we did was mostly online, through email. You know, it's a different thing when you put personalities together in the same room, and especially in such an intimate space. And I think when we do teacher trainings and retreats, people work, I mean, we work like 20-hour days. People are not...
easily.
Yeah, so we get, and also we do so much work with the students that come here, we have to do the work ourselves. And that's been, I think, my challenge this year is I don't want to have people on the team that aren't willing to look at their own shit, because I live very much in the open. If I'm going through a hard time, like, everybody knows it. If I'm having a shitty day, everybody knows it. If I'm crying about something, it's out in the open. I want to have those types of relationships with everyone that's on the team. You know, I don't want to have to, you know, have to kind of work to get to the root of the problem, but for people to dare to be vulnerable. But that also means that we have to learn how to deal with our own shit.
Yeah.
And not everybody likes that, I guess. So, I mean, looking at the whole year, because we made it through the year, we have beautiful staff. We've had some people drop out. We've had new people come on. I think as with any business, we're working through our ups and downs and our highs and our lows. What's been the best part about Island Yoga this year? Like, what's been your favorite part of the business?
Oh, that's a hard question. I haven't been here a lot this year.
This year as compared to last year when the building wasn't standing?
No, but since we got baby, I wasn't really... Like, I worked the three first months hard in my own office. Since then, I haven't sat in my office at all.
Your office has become transformed to like the like, community office. Yeah. No, that's kind of sad. No, but I mean, overall business-wise, like, what's been a highlight for you?
Finishing the teacher training.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seeing that we were able to put that together. Like, not the actual education, but the everything around it. Like, they go so much into planning this, and we have our COO, Angela, working super hard day and night with her team to put this together, and then and it came true. Like, I don't know if it probably didn't go smooth, but for me from the outside eye, it looked smoother than some of the retreats we had this year.
I think that teacher training was one of the smoothest things we had going for us, actually.
And it was almost for a whole month.
23 days. But I think so much preparation went into it. We were really ready. That's also the thing. And we'd had already 7 or 8 groups here. The first two groups that we had at the studio this year, of course, we had like, it was messy. Yeah. I don't know if people noticed it was messy. I don't think the groups knew, but behind the scenes, it was messy.
Yeah, like restaurant-wise, it was messy.
Yes, food-wise.
I think that's the problem we had.
But that's the thing, the food. So let's talk about this restaurant because I'm really trying to... I mean, it's shifting now. Like now outside, so the in the restaurant, it's pretty busy right now. Lots of people there. People stay after class and they drink smoothies and juices and have their coffee or stay for lunch. So it's definitely picking up, which is awesome. But the cafe, I mean, the restaurant's been the hardest thing.
Yeah.
By far. And I think that's my fault.
Why would you say that?
Because when we were building the building, you didn't want to have anything to do with food. I remember in the beginning, you wanted to have like a fridge where we sold kombucha and coconut water and juice, and you just grab it from the fridge in the front. And I was like,
we're going to get a coffee machine only.
And then we started like that. It's like, let's get like an espresso machine so we can make really good organic coffee in the back. And then we said, well, juices and smoothies, because we're a yoga studio, like that will, of course, the people will want that. And then we found out, well, if you're going to have juices and smoothies, you need a fridge to keep all the produce. So you might as well do salads because you're going to have all of that.
Cold cut sandwiches.
You might as well do like, oh, then you can just get a little panini grill. You can make like paninis. And then we just kept adding and adding and adding. And then when we opened, you know, I wanted to be open 6 a.m. for pre-practice coffee and smoothies.
Till 10 p.m.
Till 10 p.m. for organic wine at the bar and dinner. What was I thinking?
Yeah.
I had no clue. Like, I really did not.
But running a restaurant in general, I think anyone would tell you it's difficult. Running a vegetarian vegan restaurant in Aruba where nothing grows and no one knows what that means, it's even harder and it's really expensive.
I know. So we definitely scaled back. Like now we're open for breakfast and lunch. And when we have retreats, we're open. Yeah, we're open early morning to late night, but only during groups. But it is a thing because the boutique in the front, like that's your experience. You've manage a surf shop, you had a skate shop, like you know the retail and apparel, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I know the yoga part, like the studio like runs super well, everything's going well, but neither of us really has that running restaurant experience.
And we keep hiring people
that don't
they're hard workers, but they just don't have the experience.
I know. And I think the mentality is also really different because we're running an international, like a global business here, but hiring local staff. So one of my most memorable moments from this year, actually, that was from the same person who quit in an outrage, who actually we're still friends with, who still comes and hangs out sometimes. Okay. I don't think you've seen him. But anyway, so it was after a retreat. It was a really intense retreat. And then we had a sharing circle afterwards, and we're all kind of going through like the highs and the lows and what we need to improve and how we feel. And this guy, bless his heart, he was like, you know, halfway through, it got really hard. And he was a Reuben. It got really hard. And I woke up in the morning and I thought, you know what? I don't think I'm going to keep going. I think I'm going to just not come to work for the rest of the week. But then I changed my mind and I said, you know what? I'm going to go anyway. And I'm really happy that I did. And I sat there in that circle. I'm like, oh my God, there was an actual option in his mind where he just wouldn't show up for work for the rest of the year because he thought he had to work really hard, you know, like, and that mentality for me doesn't exist. Like, of course, you know, things get stressful sometimes. You do the work and then you go home. But I think the Aruban mentality is more like,
Island mentality.
Like, why would I push myself if it's hard?
Yeah. You know, I do it today. Tomorrow, it's even better to do it.
Or the next day, or never.
It'll happen.
This kind of, this is your most Aruban quality.
That's who I am.
That's who you are. Yes, the mañana, like another day.
Mañana maybe
next year. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to really embrace, that's the wrong word. I'm trying to accept your procrastinating side a little more. I'm having a very hard time with it. What do you think is this? Kind of actually leads into a question that someone asked. What's the most annoying traits that you guys have, like we have about each other? Like, if someone would ask me, like, what annoys me the most about you, procrastination is at the top of that list, like by far.
Oh, let me think about this, because
you have so many things.
Yeah, there's a few of them lingering up there.
No, but really, what's the most out of all of them?
Out of all, if I had to choose a funny one, it would be your chewing.
Dude, you don't listen to this podcast.
No.
Right before we came on, he was like, so what did you talk about that week? Like, I don't listen to this stuff. Olivia hosted last week, and she asked that question. What do you think annoys like, what's your most annoying thing? And she said, me and Dennis would both go together and say it's your chewing. Why is that so annoying? You mean like the chewing with the mouth
chewing
open?
Chewing with the mouth open and that noise that comes out of your mouth when you're doing it.
What does it sound like? It doesn't sound like that.
Well, so, I don't know. It's between that and a blender with a screwdriver in it.
Fork you. The thing is, you knew I was a loud chewer when we met.
Yeah, but I was blind then.
You were blind, blinded by romance? Blinded by what?
Yeah, blinded by this Swedish young girl.
And then we got married, and then...
Then we got married, and our honeymoon, all of a sudden, you started like...
Do you remember that?
Like, what the fuck did this get from?
Do you remember that How I Met Your Mother episode?
Oh, yeah.
That when they all find out each other's annoying traits, but if you never noticed before, you don't know. And then Lily in that show, she chews loudly.
And then it becomes like they put the volume up. And
yeah, you can't not hear it again. Yeah. The thing is, yeah. I was going to say, I'm going to try to work on my loud chewing, but I know I'm not going to work
on
it.
Gonna work
and you're not going to work on your procrastination.
No.
Maybe tomorrow you'll work on it.
Maybe tomorrow I'll think about it.
So going back to kind of highlights of this year, I mean, this is one of the last, is it the last podcast of the year?
No.
The second to last podcast of the year, of course. But I mean, some highlights. So yeah, for you, closing the teacher training was a big one. Mm-hmm. I think for me, yeah, I would probably say the same thing, actually. I mean, no, for me, the opening was a really big highlight because there were so many uncertainties. We didn't know if we were going to open or not.
Yeah.
And then we have, and a big piece of that was both you and I had to let go a lot. And that's really hard. Like, I can't really believe. I think that's why we're blown away.
I think it's
away.
Harder for you than it is for me.
The letting go?
Yeah, I'm really good at letting go.
Because you don't hold on in the first place.
Yeah. But when I get back into it, it's very hard accepting, like, the part of my work at Island Yoga is a lot of the finances and a lot of the day-to-day. And a lot of decisions get made that I never would have done. And then to accept that afterwards, that I think that's harder than for me than to let go in the first place.
Yeah, but I mean, that's part of hiring having management work below you to help with the day-to-day stuff.
Yeah, and maybe what they're doing is better, but it's just not stuff that I would have done. I'm not saying it's wrong or good. It's just, it's different.
It's different, I know. No, but I mean, yeah, I have that too. We have that all the time.
Yeah.
But that's been a learning for me since having the baby, because Luna was born in March. We opened in January. We've been open for 2 months. All of our savings and more went into this building and into this business. We opened. It was totally insane, totally crazy. And then we had to step away. So for me, that letting go after a lot of holding on was a really hard thing. But it wasn't until, at least that's what I could see, that when I started letting go, other people on the team started stepping up.
Yeah.
Which I think both you and I, like, we like to do things our way. And I think when we release a little bit, other people start, they come up with their own ways of doing things, which is maybe isn't the same exact way we would have done it, but the studio is thriving, like we're doing really well, and it's our first year of business.
Yeah,
so really grateful for everyone working super hard, and even the hard stuff. Like, what would be the what's your lowest point or the hardest part about business wise this year?
Well, that I can't answer now on this. I would have to like do some research.
You have to think about it more.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for me, probably I would say that the challenges that we've had in the restaurant, for sure.
Yeah, the restaurant is one thing. For me, it all comes down to, because I'm more behind the scenes, more of the what happens with the money. And I think for us, it's like trying to invest all of our monies into Aruba to set up an e-commerce on an island that doesn't function. And now we're finding our way. We have to like go away back with e-commerce into Europe or the States.
But we knew that when we started. That's the thing. So yeah, for everybody listening, if you're not aware, so we live in Aruba. It's a Caribbean island. It's very slow, and everything is really behind here. So there's no online shopping, for instance. Like, you cannot go online on an Aruban website and buy things online. It doesn't exist. So for us, you know, having a retreat center or a studio here,
we can't charge online.
We can't charge people online. So can you imagine if you want to book something at Island Yoga, you're going to have someone write you and say, Oh, hi. Yes, please send us a copy of your credit card or fill in this form or call us so you can
read us. Yeah.
Super sketchy. But that's how it was like 10 years ago or whatever. Like that's just the old school way. The hotels still do it that way here. Yeah. Totally hard to understand. But, you know, so we've had a lot of challenges that way. Yeah, that's super, super hard. But I guess the learning, I guess what I wanted to get at is from the highlights and the challenges, like the learnings of next year, what do you want to do different? Like how would you want to improve in terms of business?
I actually want to go to a place where there's less emotions involved. More like white or black, not gray area.
So you don't want to start the Island Yoga TV show and have like a reality show?
Unless we do the reality show and the reality show is based for their salaries or it covers a lot of it, then it's totally worth it. But
I honestly think I would want to see it, though, to be honest. Such a fun show to watch. Yes.
Because I'm sure we only know like 20% of what happens.
We don't know. Like what the drama that trickles our way is like minor, I think. For sure. Another point that I had, most of my like really memorable moments from the from the year in terms of staff are all in the sharing circles. Like we do to kind of vent or to get things off of our chests. We started that and then it got so out of hand where everyone was kind of saving all their grievances about little stuff here and there, personal stuff, to kind of bring it into the circle, and it became too emotional. Like in the end, I felt like I was kind of we were running a kindergarten kind of, and everyone was just kind of running to mom to tell all the stuff that was going on. And he said, she said. So we decided to stop that and we started doing dynamic meditations instead. Yeah. Which for anyone listening, it's an active meditation. It's originated or founded by Osho. It's all about physically moving your body and releasing emotions. So without talking about it, without getting into like the details of the drama, just owning your emotions. So if you're angry, it's your anger, right? If you're feeling frustrated or sad, it's yours, instead of, you know, bouncing it on other people that you work with. And that's worked super well, actually. I guess it's different. I guess a normal workplace, they wouldn't feel so responsible about the emotional well-being of everybody that works on there.
Yeah, depending, not in Aruba, that's for sure, but depending on where
you are.
Like I feel in California or New York, you hear more and more that businesses are really investing in these things as well.
Yeah, but I mean, it's important that everyone...
they would hire a yoga teacher to go there.
Of course. We have all the yoga teachers here. And that's the thing. Everyone has free yoga, like as much access to as much yoga and meditation that they want. We live in paradise. Like we have a really nice setup going here. Everyone's paid well. Like we have a good thing.
Yeah.
But I think because we invite this opening, this emotional, you know, opening, we probably have more drama than other places. But I kind of love it.
Yeah. You're dramatic.
I'm dramatic, but it also means that shit's coming out in the open. You know, we get to deal with our stuff, which is good. And I know it's not your favorite thing to do, is to deal with emotions, especially emotions coming from women.
Just emotions in general.
Just emotions in general.
Gender-neutral emotions.
Gender-neutral emotions.
You are listening to From the Heart, Conversations with Yoga Girl.
Magazines are great resources to keep us informed on news and social issues from credible sources, and they give us moments of inspiration and comic relief just when we need them. With a new app called Texture, you can now have unlimited access to over 200 premium magazines all on your tablet or your phone. And right now, you can try Texture for free. The Texture app has gone beyond delivering just the magazine itself. Texture makes it easy to find and enjoy the articles that you want to read, with exclusive interactive features like marking what you like to easily find it later, viewing bonus video content, and even experiencing curated articles and magazines just for you or whoever you are gifting Texture to this holiday season. Since the Texture app is entirely digital, it's an environmentally friendly way to consume the best magazines and articles as well. Texture is the new, smarter way to read. There are so many great ones included, like my favorites, Women's Health, the Oprah Magazine, and Time Magazine. Imagine having your favorite magazines and their back issues anytime, anywhere. Start your Texture free trial. Go to texture.com/yogagirl. If you choose to continue after your free trial, all From the Heart listeners will get Texture for just $9.99 a month. That's over 30% off the listed price. There are also great gift options available for the holiday season. Just go to texture.com/yogagirl to start your free trial today. That's texture.com/yogagirl. texture.com/yogagirl.
What is your favorite food? I think I can honestly say mine is bread. Now I'm craving my warm sourdough bread with some butter and salt on top. It's honestly the perfect thing to eat. But I'm also realistic, and I know for many of you out there, the carb feel might be real. It is too bad that carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. That's why Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They have remade carby empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, plus protein and fiber. And let me tell you, their products taste amazing. The other day, Dennis and Leah and I were making some grilled cheese sandwiches, and that would be a perfect place to swap in Hero Bread. I am very mindful when it comes to what my daughter eats, and I love that this bread helps you get enough fiber and adds more protein to your diet while cutting down on the sugar. Hero Bread is not only delicious and flavorful, there's something for every craving, including sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas. So don't give up on being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code YOGAGIRL at checkout. That's YOGAGIRL at HERO.co. Okay, so we're going to lead into some questions that people have asked. We got many questions. It's totally crazy. We had a staycation yesterday.
Yes.
How?
16 hours.
It was supposed to be 24 hours of staycation, but we got like, no, I think 18. 16, 18. I don't know. It was your early Christmas gift.
Yeah.
And here's also like, you're very awkward around receiving gifts.
Well, receiving surprise gifts, I not like, I hate.
What have you ever had like a bad experience with getting surprised?
I never had a bad experience, well, except for the goat. That was a pretty big surprise.
Can you tell the story about the goat?
I got a goat.
For Christmas. I got a
goat that was crying for Mama Goat.
She didn't have a mama goat,
but she was crying. Goat. Yeah,
she was crying for you, for Daddy.
She was not crying for me that moment.
But you started crying.
Yeah, because you fucking snatched a goat off the street.
Penny the goat. Penny, she's still my favorite. I don't know. I mean, I love Lucy too, but Penny, she's so cuddly.
Yeah, Penny's the best.
Penny's the best.
She's like a dog.
She's like a dog, fully. Yeah, I would. If it wasn't for the baby, we would have her in the house, I think, a lot still. But I mean, the staycation that we had, it was our first time ever having a break. Like, I don't want to say a break from the baby, like it's a job, but having a baby is kind of a 24-hour thing. Was it everything you dreamed of?
It was nice. I liked it. We were supposed to have sunset by the bar, but then you were like freaking out about baby having mosquito bites. So we ended up...
But it wasn't like 2 mosquito bites.
No. But so we ended up going to the pharmacy for sunset.
Very romantic.
Buying antihistamine and then bringing that there. And then we got back in time just for dinner and a drink.
Just for dinner and a drink. Yeah. But it wasn't, I mean, okay, so she had like 50 mosquito bites. There were so many. Her feet started swelling up. Like, I think
she just have chunky feet. She didn't swell up.
They were swollen.
They're always like that.
No.
They don't fit in any shoes.
But that's because she's a baby. That's because the shoes are too small.
Exactly.
No, but they were swelling. Nah. Okay, that's a question that we got. Someone is asking, Dennis, how do you handle Rachel's panicky mom attacks?
I don't. I walk away. I just go in the background and let her have her moment, a panic attack. And then when she tells me what to do, I'll jump back in.
You're good at giving space.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like when I'm having a really panicky moment, no one can really help me. You know, if someone tries to step in and manage, then I freak out more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's good that you let me have my moment and then it always passes.
But then you scream at me for not being there. But if I'm there, you're going to scream at me for being there.
I don't scream. Sorry, but it depends. Yeah. It depends on what's going on. Like we've had, I don't know. The thing that annoys me, the thing that's hard that I wish I had is that you have this very casual, like do you ever worry that something's going to happen to her?
No.
No. Why?
But if something happens to her, then it's my fault, though, because I never worry.
But do you think the worry helps?
I honestly think I can't do, it is what it is, and I can't do anything about it.
No, but I mean, like, I don't think that the worrying helps. It's not like the worrying keeps her safe, because I worry about everything all the time.
Yeah. And no, I don't think it keeps her safe either.
No, so I mean, maybe your way is just the better.
But she'll
way.
Probably get a broken leg or a broken arm on my watch one day.
If that happens, dude.
But probably not on your watch. It's going to happen. It happened to me like when I was young so many times.
So that's not going to happen. She's not gonna break any bones. She's not going to have anything. I don't know. When I get pissed, when you say I yell at you, it's if there's like something majorly that I feel really is happening with her. Like, okay, so the first time she slept through the night, which was like an amazing thing for us. Super amazing. We've been longing for this the whole time. But she didn't move the whole night. She just laid there like a dead person. And I start freaking out because I want to like make sure that she's breathing. I couldn't see her chest rising. And you're just like sleeping the whole night. You're like, oh, this is so awesome. And then I feel really alone. Like I need you to like wake up and engage in my madness with me.
Yeah.
But you don't.
Sorry.
Okay, I can hear it now as I speak it, how insane it is. But I don't know if this is a dad and a mom thing. I don't know if it's like a...
Maybe. No, but I think you... You have the needs to control, like not in a bad way or a good way. It's just that's who you are. Yeah. You just need to be in control of everything.
Yeah, but especially her health. Like that's something that's just terrifying me a lot.
Oh, if she has my genes, I think we're good.
What do you mean?
Like she won't be allergic. She won't have.
We already know she's allergic, you doofus.
She's not all of her.
She had an allergic reaction from the mosquito bites.
Normal mosquito bites. She's pale as fuck. Of course, you're gonna see her red bumps.
We were joking the other day that Luna is so white that if you leave her on the beach, you can't see her anymore because she just blends in with the white sand. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think, I don't know. I think you do a good job. I wish I had more of that. I don't think you're careless. I just think you're very, very relaxed.
I think I'm careless.
Yeah? You're not supposed to say that. You're making me worry.
Oh, sorry. Right now. I'm very relaxed.
No. Dude. Okay. We need to move on from this topic before I get upset. Okay. Another question that came in a lot. So what annoys us the most about each other? We did that. What do we love most about each other? Let's get back to a good note.
Ooh.
What are our favorite traits about each other?
Can it be sexual or or it has to be like emotional?
I think if
but emotional
asks
is
you,
pretty sexual too.
Dude, if someone asks you, what do you love most about your wife? What do you say?
Her ass.
Stop! We're gonna have to edit this out. Stop. Like, can you come up with a normal answer?
Okay, let me think.
You're killing me, man. This is why, okay, we had requests, a lot of requests for Patrick and Olivia and you and me to do a podcast together.
Yeah.
If we did that, this is all what that podcast would be.
I don't think that podcast would ever come out.
It would never see the light of day.
No, Patrick is too inappropriate.
Okay, can you just answer the question now?
For me, I love that it was... how well we connect, even though we're different in so many levels, but we're the same also on so many levels, that we're, it's just easy. It's kind of harder sometimes to be apart than it is to be together. Like I never have that feeling that I have to be away from you.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to put that into words, but that's basically, it's just easy the way we connect.
That's a nice answer. I know. I feel that people ask that a lot if we get sick of each other because we do everything together.
Yeah.
Like I guess normal couples would be away in the day because you work in different places, but we're not.
Yeah, I kind of wish we were more together, to be honest. Like, but not in a corny way. It's just like when we had the staycation, it kind of reminded me how we used to be before the kid.
Before the kid.
The baby. Before, like when I would take pictures of you and like it reminded me like kind of how we traveled the world for the first 4 years of us being together.
And it was like a little, so Dennis took really nice photos of me over the weekend. You picked up the camera again for the first time in like 2 years.
Yeah. I want some new lenses, so I have to prove to you that I can take pictures.
But I mean, it did because our first years together, all we did was travel. We went to different countries all over the world and we'd take pretty pictures of our social media and you know, teach yoga together. And I miss that part. I miss like teaching together. I miss leading retreats with you.
Yeah.
Do you miss that?
I don't miss teaching.
I know. To be honest. Everyone misses your teaching, but you don't miss teaching.
I don't miss teaching at all. I miss organizing retreats. Like now we have a big team. They do everything. Before it was just you and me and Amelie. But I do miss that part that I got to connect with the hotels, or I had to do like all the legwork. And then when you see a retreat come out to life, you kind of like, you know that you did that from A to Z.
Yeah, that very much how everyone enjoys it. Like, that's a nice feeling.
That feeling I miss. But it's now so much easier. We just show up, blow up, go.
Show up, blow up, and go home. I'm going to answer the question too. So what do I love most about you? Should I answer like in a sexual way? Should I talk about your body now?
Yeah, please.
Your favorite part, my favorite part of your body is your butt too. Mm. So guess we have that in common too.
Yeah.
Okay, we have to do so much editing today. My favorite thing about you, I mean, it is like your ability to stay really, like your groundedness and your humbleness. Like it's really refreshing always, all the time. I don't know. You keep me really grounded and calm. And I know no matter how much I'm panicking about something, because I have that tendency to go into anxiety or panic or drama, like you're that calm buoy of comfort that I can come home to. You're my little buoy man. My boo.
Buoy.
Another thing that has come in a lot. So I think because of how we introduced this, when we were driving home from staycation yesterday, I shared on my Instagram story, like, we're going to do a podcast. And you just kind of smiled awkwardly into the camera, like you didn't want to do the podcast. But I kind of knew you wanted to do the podcast, and then we're doing the podcast. But then people were asking, like, why are you forcing Dennis to do this? So people are wondering, like, if you're a more private person than I am, and how it feels, I guess, you manage.
Well, I think 99.9% of this world is more private than you are.
probably correct, yes.
I'm definitely more of a private person. I don't mind when you share things about us at all. I just don't share things about us, I guess.
But you don't share things about anything.
I don't share.
You're not a sharer. Yeah. How many sharing circles at the studio have you ever joined?
Complete?
Yes.
At the studio?
Yes.
I think two.
And we do them every week.
Yeah.
See, so the funniest question now, someone was sending right before we started recording. I just want to give Dennis a high five and a hug for putting up with you. I thought that was so funny. I mean, it's not like you put up with me. Do you feel that way? Like you have to put up with all this stuff?
Sometimes. Not all the time. Depending on what it is. Podcast is not really putting up.
Here's another question that just came in. Dennis, what drives you most crazy about your wife?
We just answered that.
Does that count? That's the chewing.
Chewing. I can add another one if you want.
Tell me another thing.
When we go to sleep, and if Leia Luna is in the same room as we are, like, I'm not allowed to do anything. If I just think that I want to turn in the bed, immediately I have two claws in my back. And then a wife going like...
Because you wake her up all the time. Dude, we have to move her out of the bedroom. It's just, there's no other option. That's the thing. You don't know how loud you are in the night.
Like, well, when you're, I was like, alone with her, I was like as loud.
How much do you weigh in pounds? Like,
Jesus.
You're like 100-something kilo man.
Yeah.
You're like 6 foot four.
230 pounds, I think.
230 pounds, 6 foot four, ginormous man who sweats and moves and throws your giant legs and arms around at night. And when you yawn, you sound like this. And you always find the moments to make the most noise right as she's about to almost wake up. And then I have to put a little claw in your arm. Like, stop. Like, just stop moving. Can you just, like, fucking be still? Like, you have no clue. No clue.
Well, she sleeps fine with me when I wake.
That's because you don't wake up when she wakes up. You only wake up if she, like, cries and screams.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, sleep like a dad. Someone just told me that. Like, why do you think men age better than women? Because men sleep more.
Your mom fully disagreed with that, though.
Well, my mom disagreed that men age better than women, but then we had to Google it, and it's like scientifically proven that probably not, I mean, skin-wise, like wrinkles and stuff like that, like women age faster than men. And it has to do with hormones, something about estrogen, and something, I don't know, but it is also sleep-related.
But a woman's body, or a woman in general, is more beautiful than a man.
Well, like, that's because you are a man.
Like, men in general, like...
But I mean, you think average. That because you're a man.
No, but women think that about women too. Like, you like when you see a naked man, it's just like, it's like goo.
You mean there's like stuff hanging around and
yeah. And when it's a woman, it's like a taking care of body. Or I don't know. Like I guess I don't take care of my body so well. But
beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Like there's most women out there would probably think like men, naked man can be the most beautiful thing ever. A naked body, I think, is really beautiful.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe I'm talking stupid things now, but I think if you just put like an average five ladies and then an average five men standing next to each other, like I'm pretty sure that a woman's body is prettier than a man's body.
Someone is asking, who do you think carries most of the emotional labor in the relationship?
That is such a hard question. Wow.
Who carries the emotional labor? I mean, it's not you.
Who else is there?
Maybe it's loonies now. Yeah, clearly. But I mean, I don't know. Like, if it wasn't for me, we would never talk about, like, our issues.
Yeah.
Of course we have issues. Like, we're a normal couple. We have normal shit. If it wasn't for me, we would never talk about them.
Probably.
But do you think it helps when we talk about things?
I don't know.
But stop! That's such an easy question. Of course it's a yes.
Well, why?
Because we work things out. Like, if we have a disagreement about something that we can't get over, we can't just, like, pretend it's not there and move on and then have that linger forever. Like,
know what it is about.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be, like, done with.
I don't know.
This is also, I don't know if this is a male-female type thing, but every time we talk something through, even though you do it very reluctantly, like, we move on and then we're all good.
But I was good before the conversation even started.
Yeah, but I was not.
Well, then there you go.
Yeah, this is also, can we go back to the question of what annoys, what annoys me? Because this is also one of those things. I don't know. Okay. Part of it is like that's the difference. So you can be like this relaxed, carefree person, and then you can venture into the area of like not giving a flying fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's annoying. You have to like stay within the zone of just being relaxed and cool.
There's a very thin line between no fucks are given and relaxed and cool.
Yes. But when you are like no fucks given and we're in a fight, then I go insane.
Well, what if I'm really, really relaxed in a fight?
You're not really relaxed in the fight. You just like, you choose not to give a shit. And then I give more shits.
But
and then we fight
too
more.
Relaxed. No. I'm too zenned out owning a yoga studio.
Yeah. But we don't fight. I mean, we have like a fight. How often do we fight?
I don't know. Once every 5 minutes or something.
Dude, you're making this impossible. Like a real fight. Like, not a fight where we laugh at each other about something. Like, we do that a lot. Yeah, we have, like, tiny disagreements and then we laugh every day. But, like, a fight.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, a couple times a year we have, like, a fight. Yeah. We've had two fights this year. We're not going to go into them because I know you don't want to do that. But we had an Iron Man fight and we had an LA fight.
Correct.
Two. Two in 12 months.
No, I don't think it's two. I think there's probably more, but two that is like still lingering for you.
No, two that we can just remember as like major fights.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not bad. Once every 6 months. We can keep that going for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. How many more kids do we want?
Minus one. That's not a good answer.
Oh my god. No, that's a great answer. Okay. But you just had minus one for 16 hours. You had a break.
Oh yeah, that's true. No, I always wanted two. You always wanted five.
Yeah, I'm back to one. Like one's pretty good.
I always wanted a girl first and then a boy second. That theory mostly being growing up here, if you had the boy first, then the girl would date the boy's friends. And then it would be impossible for the boy to go to school and all that shit.
But you never had that happen. You have a younger sister.
Yeah, but my sister is 10 years younger than me. I feel more like an uncle to her than a brother.
There's too much space.
Yeah.
I think one child is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Snip, snip.
You mean, are you going to snip your tubes?
That's not how it goes. You don't snip tubes.
No?
No. Snip, snip is like the vasectomy sound. That's the sound that it makes.
But what about when the girl does it?
I think you tie the tubes, but that's like a major invasive surgery.
Yeah. That's something I'm willing to live with.
No. Just joking. I don't know. Maybe one more.
Yeah.
Maybe one more. Maybe in a couple of years. Maybe when things are like...
But if it's not a boy, we just drop it off at the fire
station.
Okay,
we're moving on. now. What is the hardest part about being a dad?
I think being a dad is really easy, actually.
Yes. I don't know why you're complaining.
I wasn't complaining.
Yes, you complained. You just said minus one.
Oh, like... yeah, but it's...
Yeah, but I mean, is there anything hard about it? Like, she's so easy.
Being a dad, no. Being a person that wants to do its own things, like, then, like, if I want to go surf on a whim or I want to go see my friends on a whim, I can't do that. That's, I guess, the only hard part. But being a dad, like, an actual raising another person, so far, it's pretty chill.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if we're super lucky and she's just...
Dealing with the mom is the problem.
Shut your fucking mouth. But maybe she's just the easiest baby. Like maybe, or maybe this is what it is. I don't know. Yeah. We're in a really good space now. Like the last couple of months have been... Yeah, since she started sleeping.
Yeah.
Clearly. I mean, she started sleeping at 6 months.
Since she has routine, it's been really...
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Easy. 4 to 6 months were kind of shit because she didn't sleep. Or but 4.5 to 6. And then we sleep trained. Huh?
Oh, that's also because I'm not working. I forgot to mention that. If I would be working, it's probably hard as fuck.
Yeah, but I mean, we decided it's really hard to... You can't take care of the baby and also work. Yeah. Like, you have to really...
Well, that's what everybody does.
No, but I mean, not at the same time. So we would have the baby at the studio and everyone would try to get some work done, but like no one would really do anything. So we have to separate. So whoever works, the one who's...
But
baby
I mean,
is
a normal family would bring the baby to a kind of school or something to take care of.
Yeah, you would go to daycare or something, but we don't have to do that now. No, but I mean, she's still young. She's only 9 months. But she's like, what's the best thing about being a dad then?
The best thing? Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's so much. I really like hanging out with her. It's really cool to see the things she... Like, she's learning stuff every single day. It's really cool to see how that develops, how she develops.
Do you ever get bored with her?
No, not really.
Me neither. Maybe that will come. I don't know. But I keep, like, I'm really content reading the same books every day.
Yeah.
Like, playing in her room and, you know, walking around with her, crawling with her. Like, it's just...
I know. And it's always so nice. I always, like, ignore her when we're in her room. I'm just on my phone doing stuff and then she plays. It's so easy.
Okay, stop trying to push my buttons. I'm really grateful that you're not that type of dad. I mean, I don't know. I think that okay, fuck. I don't know what goes on at the house when I'm
working.
You don't
even know what type of dad I am.
I don't even know what type of dad you are.
She's still alive, though. You have to give me that.
She's still alive, so that's really good. No, but I'm really glad that you are like really present with her and really there all the time. My hardest thing for me is for sure the fear that something's going to happen to her. Like that's the one thing that I just can't. And it's not getting easier.
Yeah.
It's not getting more relaxed or more chill. I would think like in the beginning, because of course you had like sudden infant death, like they just die for no reason, or like, you know, before she could turn her head, what if she would get stuck halfway and she couldn't breathe? Like I feel like there was more, for sure, more ways that she could have just died.
Yeah.
But now there's other things. Today she climbed up on the stove. like she grabbed the highest railing of the stove with both hands, pulled herself up and then put her feet up on the lower ledge. So she was like climbing fully, no feet on the ground, like trying to get up on the stove. And I couldn't believe it. So now there's other dangers. Like now there's other things that I worry about. She's so fast now. You look away for 1 second, she's gone.
Yeah.
So yeah, it doesn't get easier. I wish someone
And she knows what she wants. Like, she's pretty persistent.
Yeah.
If it's a toy or if it's like going somewhere.
No, she knows what she wants. Yeah. And she's a really determined yeah. little being. But yeah, the love is so intense. Yeah, that's the hardest part. My favorite part is everything else. Everything other than the like gripping, overwhelming fear that something's going to happen to her. Everything else is super awesome. Little loony toony.
You are listening to From the Heart, Conversations with Yoga Girl.
I have so enjoyed sharing conversations and stories throughout the year on From the Heart that have inspired better health and empowered self-love. Let's keep the momentum going. End the year strong with Sunbasket, a weekly meal delivery service that sends you organic and clean ingredients plus easy recipes for delicious and healthy dinners. Sunbasket makes it easier and more convenient to commit to your health and wellness every day. Pick from 12 weekly recipes and receive organic and clean ingredients directly to your door. With pre-measured ingredients and step-by-step instructions that are super easy to follow, you can now cook delicious seasonal meals in your own kitchen in 30 minutes or less. Whatever your nutritional needs are, Sunbasket has you covered. Mix and match from paleo, lean and clean, gluten-free, of course vegetarian, and family options. Each meal is created by award-winning chefs and approved by nutritionists. This holiday season, skip the grocery store madness and see how easy it is to keep your wellness on track and get healthy, clean meals on your table with Sunbasket. For all of you in the U.S., go to sunbasket.com/yoga today to get $35 off of your first order. That's sunbasket.com/yoga for $35 off. sunbasket.com/yoga. Another thing that has come in a lot, and this I think is interesting because I like to have this conversation with you, is about food.
Oh yeah, food. I saw that question too.
Yeah, a lot of people are asking. So I am back to being vegan.
And... in that question, they called me a carnivore.
People were like, wait, the question was, how do you deal with the balance of you being vegan and then is being a carnivore?
That's...
you didn't like that term.
They label me like that. Jesus.
How would you
relax,
like to be...
woman.
How would you like to be labeled then?
Pescatore.
I think that means fisherman.
Someone that eats fish a lot.
Pescatarian is the word you're looking for.
No, no, no. Pescatarian is someone that only eats fish and vegetables.
Uh-huh.
A carnivore doesn't mean that they only eat meat. They eat everything, but they're really obsessed with meat.
No, a carnivore is someone who eats meat.
Only meat.
No.
No other thing. No, exactly.
No. What do you mean? A carnivore is someone who eats meat. Doesn't exclude other things.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't exclude other things.
But also...
you are a carnivore because you eat meat, but you also eat fish. You also eat sometimes exactly. a vegetable here and there, but you're still a carnivore.
A pescator.
Pescatarian.
Pescator, not tarian. Pescatarian is like a vegetarian, you know? It's,
no!
It's like you're a vegetarian, but you also eat fish. A pescator.
A pescator.
Patent pending.
Patent pending.
Is someone that is obsessed with fish, but also eats a little meat here and there and also eats vegetables here and there.
Oh, so that's your own label. You're a pescator.
Yeah.
So you eat a little bit of meat, mostly fish, sometimes a
vegetable.
Obsessed
with fish, yeah.
Obsessed with fish, sometimes a vegetable, and a little bit of meat.
Sometimes garnish on it, yeah.
A little garnish, like a little parsley or something on it. That's the
exactly.
vegetable.
That's a salad.
That's a salad. Okay. As someone who cooks and orders most of the food that you eat, I'm going to go ahead and say that that definition of pescator does not apply to you.
You want to get into this? You want me to get my trademark lawyer?
This does not apply to you.
Just because I have a little salami on my pizza.
So much meat.
And just because I have a little ribs here and there.
You eat so much meat. And then you pretend like you don't eat so much meat. Like it's not a big thing. And like you forget all the... you eat meat every day.
And I get really, how do you say, disgusted when people around me eat meat. You know, it's like, what the fuck? And then I go ahead and order my 12-piece... chicken wings.
But seriously, like, okay, and I mean everyone listening, you can tell that I'm not, you know, I don't get upset when you eat meat. I don't care. Like, this is who you are.
You do care.
I don't care.
You give me so much shit.
I would prefer it if you were vegetarian, of course, but we don't. It's not like there's an aggression between us. It's not like there's like
there's a passive aggression.
A passive aggression. You think
two,
so?
Two out of three times you give me shit. Three out of three times, a third out of three times, you would order it yourself for me. Like when you're tired and you're like, oh, fuck, I don't know what to eat, and you're ordering a pizza for me, you'll just order the one I usually get.
The one you want.
The one I want, yeah.
Yes. But that's the thing. But I mean, we don't fight about our food choices. It's not like it's a tension in our family. No. But whenever you're ordering, I try to like quietly nudge you toward
passive-aggressively put a claw in my neck.
Eating more vegetables and less animal proteins.
Yeah. But, and the funny part is all my friends that were a lot into meat, they're all vegetarians now.
I know. I'm the only one eating meat. What the hell has happened with you?
I don't know. And it used to be like, reversed. I was the only one that used to be like vegetarian in our group. And all of them were like making fun of me.
So when we met, I was super vegan, like really, really, really vegan. And then if I think for the first year of our relationship, you were basically vegan, but sometimes you would have like, you would have some meat on top of whatever I was cooking at home.
Fish mostly,
yeah.
Not even meat.
Yeah, but I mean, once in a while, you wouldn't say like you're vegan, but you wouldn't eat, we didn't eat dairy, no yeah. cheese. Like you would eat so much vegetarian food, like a little bit of shrimp or like a little piece of fish or something here and there. And then it was like the pendulum swung the other way.
Yeah.
And you went from like, and you lost a lot of weight. You were like super healthy and all that stuff. And then you went all the way to the other extreme and you started ordering like pork chop chiquito and like gross, like from the Chinese restaurant, like the really gross fried meat with all the additives.
Sentimental food.
Sentimental food. Why is it sentimental?
Because that's what I ate growing up.
Yeah, but
shit is like $3.
But it's like you cut through the meat and you don't know what's in there. That's the thing.
I know what's
in
there.
You order meat that comes like in a paper bag.
You know, yeah. I can have one of those now, actually.
You don't know what's in there. You don't know where that meat is from. You don't know
I know what's in there. You want to know what's in there?
Yeah, what's in there?
Greatness. Fucking deliciousness. That's what's in there.
You don't know. This is the
and
thing.
And grease.
And grease and like heart attacks and cancer and strokes and like the thing is, yeah, and you're
I'm getting hungry.
You're getting hungry. Luna is vegan.
Yeah.
She's going to be vegan until if she ever gets to the point in her life where she wants to
decide on her own
that she doesn't want to be. Yeah, that's up to her. But for now, like I would never feed her animal products. And I was eating cheese and ice cream. Like that was a dairy that I used to have, and now I'm back to
you
being
vegan.
You
would eat some of our
fish. Oh, some of our fish sometimes if it was caught by you. Yeah. But now I'm back to fully vegan, but it's also because I've anchored back into the emotional connection with animals. So not just about health or environment, all that stuff. But you love animals so much. You're the biggest animal lover that I know.
I'm addicted. I can't do anything about it.
But you love animals.
Yeah, I love animals.
You love all animals.
Yeah.
There's not an animal that you ever met that you didn't want a spoon.
Well, a porcupine. Like what's those? A blowfish, I guess. Those
a blowfish, you didn't try
an urchin. I mean, I didn't want a spoon.
You tried to hug a seal.
Yeah, that seal almost bit me too.
you were in Galapagos. That was like your
Don't
mission.
Don't say that. I'm not allowed to touch them.
You're not allowed to touch them. Dennis kept the whole trip during his trip to Galapagos, kept trying to hug the seals. And then he went for the hug and the seal got really pissed.
I went for the pet. I wanted to pet the seal to see what they feel like and to see if they're actually, because you see them, they're all trying to itch like a scratch behind their neck, and I know I can do a way better job than their like stupid little fins can do
to scratch the itch
to scratch them and make them feel good. But that guy was so upset with me.
Yeah,
seal.
There's a reason you're not supposed to pet the seals in the nature reserves. But that's the thing. So I have this knowing that I know, and this is why I give you shit, because you sometimes say like you should be able to kill the meat that you eat. You are under that belief.
I'm still under that belief.
I know for a fact, you would not be able to kill an animal. I know it.
I know it. I disagree at this point in my life.
Okay, if you, me, and Luna were alone on Earth,
I would be harmed for the rest of my life.
After an atomic bomb, and we were gonna die if we didn't have meat,
easily.
Then I'm sure.
But then they will be with.
But
all
in
these
your
radiance.
Regular day-to-day life, you could never kill an animal.
If I had to kill an...
No, like, just in your regular day-to-day life.
Regular day-to-day, no, but I feel
everyone...
But you everyone,
do. Every time you
but
eat
that's what I'm saying.
Meat on your plate, you are... Like,
I think everyone that
indirectly
eats meat
killing
should
an
be able to kill their meat.
But you can't.
I think I can.
You can't!
I think I'm going to be like... For the rest of my life, I'm going to be like super traumatized by it, but I think I can.
So every time you put meat on your plate, you would kill that animal yourself. It's not like one time prove that
No. I need to just one time prove it. Come on, lady.
This is the thing. So you're not really living in accordance with your own values.
But I kill fish.
Yeah, but we're talking about meat now. You said
No.
You wanted to
kill what you eat.
Yes, but you wanted to be a pescatore or whatever. What was the word? A pescator.
Pescator.
Okay, your own label of what you eat. Would you say is mostly fish and a little bit of meat? But right now your diet is mostly meat, sometimes a little bit of fish, and whatever vegetables I put on your plate.
Dude, these days, fishing season has been on. I haven't gone fishing, but our friends and my old boss, we've been getting so many wahoo, so many tunas fresh every day. You see us eating the tuna burgers.
I see you eating the tuna burgers, but you still eat the really shitty meat. Like you had chicken wings the other day. You had
not
prosciutto
in 2 weeks,
things on your
days.
On your pizza. You had meat from the bag. Like you eat.
I haven't had meat from the bag in a really long time.
Okay, stop. Meat from the bag. Just the fact that that's a thing. Meat from the bag.
Why would you bring that up? Kind of
no,
want
but
it now.
I think it would be nice. I don't know. I'm worried that you're going to need like a health scare to start transitioning away from meat. And I'm kind of feeling like the more I talk about it, the more meat you want to eat. Is
yeah.
that true? Should I just be quiet?
You should just be quiet.
Okay. Everyone listening, can they talk about it?
Sure.
Do you?
But I honestly don't want all these vegan activists
talking to you.
On my
fucking you, fucking up your meals.
Fucking up my meals for me.
Well, I mean, maybe the seed has been sown. Do you think so?
I think I probably live in patterns that I'm going to be in some years again vegetarian for a few years. And then I'm going to go do the complete opposite again. Unless I have a heart attack, which I hope I don't have. Not going to work.
Yeah, but you don't know. That's the thing. Maybe there's like... What if you knew? So with your Ironman and all your training and all that stuff, that you would be much faster and perform much better without the meat.
I would need to have to start, training or practicing in a certain amount first before I get to where the difference starts happening.
What does that mean? Like you have to?
I have to actually train more. So before, like with any sports, you can reach a level, your top level, quote by quote. And when you reach your top level, then it becomes to like, how do you fine tune it with meals and all that stuff. I think as a hobby or someone that just do it here and there, you won't see the difference unless you actually train.
Yeah, I think you would see a difference really fast.
Maybe in my pant sizes. For me, life is very simple. You can have the good life, i.e. the belly, and still do an Ironman.
You can have the belly, like the beer gut.
The good life.
The good life.
Yeah.
And still perform.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you're the living example.
I'm the biggest from the group.
You're the biggest in the group. You perform really well. That's the thing. But so that's also, if you started thinking about what you ate, I think you would kind of accelerate like crazy and go.
But I don't want to, that's the problem I have. I
so
don't want to.
Before an Ironman, like everyone else
think
is like.
What I eat.
No, but everyone else is like on their diet and they're doing this stuff to perform and carbo loading and this yeah. stuff. And you're like sitting at home drinking beer.
And having sushi.
Having sushi before like these giant races to me. And I love that about you because it's just, you know, you don't take yourself too seriously and that's good. But I also really want you to live a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe a little less meat.
I'll ask for 10 pieces of wings tonight instead of 12.
Okay.
Compromise.
Okay, moving on from the meat question. I'm going to take one final question, and this was such a beautiful question, and I'm really interested in hearing how you're going to answer it. Someone is asking Dennis, not me, but Dennis, how will I find my way in life? So what advice do you have for someone who's looking for their purpose or to find their way?
There is so many apps these days. Like there's Google Maps.
Dude!
And you put your destination in it. And you'll find it. Sometimes you can even ask Siri. Where is my Siri? Where is my phone? Oh, here. Let's see if this works. Hey, Siri. How will I find my way in life?
I'm not finding anything for my way in life.
There you go. There's your answer. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Siri can't find her way.
If Siri can't find her way in life, I don't think you can, miss, sir.
You're like the anti-inspiration.
You should follow me on Instagram. I can
that
help
is how
you
can
to
I find
all...
my way in life. Siri can't even find her way. Neither are you.
You're fucked.
Oh, God. But, okay, Does this mean you want the podcast to end now?
Well, on a positive note like this, with this very
on a
inspirational
serious note. Okay, on a serious note, you live a really good life.
Yeah.
Like objectively, you have a big house.
Yeah.
You just
correct.
You just built a pool. They are filling it up as we speak.
Correct.
You have a wife who you love.
Correct.
You have the most beautiful baby girl.
Yes.
You have abundance.
Affirmative.
You have an appropriate amount of freedom, meaning you're not roaming free like a bachelor, but you see your friends. If you want to go out, you can. You go running. You do your things.
Disagree to agree, but okay, keep going.
You don't have to slave away at like a 9-to-5 job working for the man. Like, you make your own decisions during the day.
Of course not. Everyone is a woman in our team.
That's true.
I work for the woman, even though they might be below me, but I still work for the woman.
The way it should be. You have a lot of good things. If you want to buy a new bicycle, you buy a new bicycle.
But I,
if you want to go traveling,
I get it with it, though.
You go traveling. Like, yeah. You have financial abundance. You have family in abundance. You have a lot of love. Listen, you have
everything
what some
is
people
good,
would
but
say.
Some, you're portraying it better than it is.
What's not good, then?
I can't travel the way I want. I can't go whenever I want. It's because I'm a family man now. That's
yes,
normal.
But I mean, would you like it any? Would you like it to be different? Would you prefer not have a family and go and
no,
roam
no,
the,
no. I'm not saying that
earth?
Either. But you're portraying it that I can just leave on a
no,
whim.
No, but I said in an appropriate level of freedom, meaning you're a dad now, so you're not going to
yeah.
have the same freedom you had.
So
before
I can probably travel once a year.
Yes, but in your day-to-day life, like if you want to go biking, you want to go do something, you have the space to do that. Like. What I'm trying to come to here is that you have a good life.
I have a great life.
Would you be so confident to say is that you have found your way in life?
No, I don't know what my way is.
But if you're living...
I'm just following you, lady.
I'm trying to like nudge you to answer this question in a really awesome way. Like if you want to pursue a dream... Right,
yes.
And to come to a place in life where you are really content.
Correct.
What advice would you give a person other than asking Siri to give you directions?
I cannot answer that question. I really don't know. I'm really happy the way I am, the life that we have. I'm really happy. But I did not manifest that pool, for instance. That was your manifestation.
Well, I mean, the financial abundance, I think, is not like the point.
Okay.
Yeah, you manifested this relationship.
I think you just have to be open to accepting wherever you are. Like if in one day we don't have this building, we don't have the pool, we don't have the house, I don't have the bike, and we're somewhere else, I still think I'll be very happy. I think you just have to be happy where you're at. And if you're lucky enough, one day if that's what you want, people maybe don't even want what we have, you'll get there. But you just have to be content at where you are at the moment. Like, I didn't, like, I'm super happy where we are, but I didn't ask for any of it. Like, I'm just along for the ride. I'm super stoked.
And you mean wherever the ride takes us, you'll
yeah.
be happy there too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can confidently say that I think that's true.
Yeah. But you're different, though.
I'm different.
Yeah.
I'm very, very different. But that's why we're such a good match. Yeah. Like, you always said, like, if any day... all of this would disappear, you know, as long as we have each other. And now, of course, Looney. Like, we could live in a shack. We could move in on live on the beach in Costa Rica in the jungle and have...
And you think I can't do that anymore, though.
No, but I know you. I know you could do that. Like, you are a content person. Like, you're content with a lot of abundance. You're content with nothing. Like, you would go back to eating cup noodle soup every day.
And pork chop chiquito.
And pork chop chiquito every day if we had to. And I know that. And for me... But, I mean, it's not about financial abundance. You know, yeah. It's about... For me, financial abundance is about freedom. So yes, being able to travel to see family if you want.
Yeah.
You know, being able to manifest the type of life for our baby girl that...
And that is amazing, though, that we
that
can
just...
That
is amazing. And you did not have that growing up.
No, I never had that until I met you. And you were not really... Well,
I was poor as shit
yeah,
when we met.
Exactly. So we would still go to these places. I don't know how the hell we got there because I would use all my salary in one day to buy two tickets and we go there and then we figure it out.
Yeah.
And we would be broke as fuck.
Yeah, but we managed.
We did it, yeah.
Yeah, and I love that about us. The pendulum will swing both ways. What's most beautiful about this part in our lives now, I think, is that we have been able to manifest enough for us so we are content, right? I feel like we are in a good place. We can travel, we can see the family, we can take care of the baby, like all is well. We don't need to have like uber luxury, like we're good. Everything's okay. And we can start giving.
Yeah.
Which is, I think...
Well, we never stopped,
We never didn't give, but I think we can give on a much bigger scale now.
Yeah, we're working on it.
We're working on it. That's what's in the future for us, I hope.
Yeah.
Thank you for that really insightful answer.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You should tell Siri that. Maybe she needs some guidance.
I was just about to thank Siri for helping us.
Thank you for coming on the show, babes.
You're welcome.
How about we make this a monthly thing?
You asked me last time and I said yes last time. And
you did?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. So it's my fault.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so we'll see you next month.
See you next month.
Everyone listening, thanks for tuning in. We will see you next week. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode, and a huge thanks to my guest, Dennis Schoneveld. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to listen and subscribe to other great episodes of From the Heart Conversations with Yoga Girl. You can find all of these on rachelbraithen.com, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or anywhere you normally get your podcasts. And don't forget to leave a review while you are there. Huge thanks to the folks at Cadence 13 for their production work, and of course, thanks to my sponsors, Bon Appetit, Texture, and Sunbasket. Please support them the way they support this podcast. I will see you next week.